time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy, we are live from Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. We are here for David Benavidez, David Morrell, which is live on pay-per-view on Saturday, this February 1st. The card starts at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and it is presented by Prime Video. And thank you, of course, to Premier Boxing Champions for having us out here for their travel and accommodations. We're excited about it. We're staying at New York, having a good time. Let us get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai chooses over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory. Like the Tucson, the Sonata, and the Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. So yesterday at the Senior Bowl, not only
here we go,
did the Dolphins meet with Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, who said that the talks went well.
I mean, here. Please just bear with me for a second.
Hmm?
Have you ever heard about talks with a player and they go, you know what? Didn't go well. Have you ever heard that?
Des Bryant.
Well, that's because.
Des Bryant. Boxton.
No, I'm not Boxton.
Boxton. Gotcha, dude.
Dang, you wait. Gotcha. You didn't hear. Wait.
Scott.
Time out.
All right.
You didn't hear about that until after.
I heard about it, though.
Heard about it.
After
I heard
the fact.
About it, though.
But did the team say that or did Des Bryant say
it? Des Bryant said it.
Okay.
Milroe
I'm just saying, the team is never going to say nothing negative about a player.
Well, the team didn't say the talks went well.
But that's, that's my point. You're getting it from the team. The Dolphins said
I'm getting it from him. He says, quote, the talks went well. Also, they talked to Dylan Gabriel.
Man.
They're talking to all the quarterbacks.
Why? Dude. Why? Yeah, because he's just,
they're talking to everyone.
It's almost like you get a little Tua, you know, a lefty Hawaiian quarterback, you know? So it's like. What?
What?
What do you mean, dude?
I'm just saying. Been there, done that. Dude.
I love the way some of the qualifications of a quarterback that you want.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
It's not, though, because it's actually the last four quarterbacks in the actual NFL were exactly what I tell you to be.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes is not considered mobile.
Two rushing touchdowns.
He's not considered mobile.
He's mobile.
He's mobile enough.
He's mobile.
He can be he's not considered a mobile quarterback.
He's mobile, dude.
Yeah.
So you're saying Patrick Mahomes.
He picks his spots.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me get this straight.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah. Josh Allen, mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson are samesies.
No, not samesies, but he's mobile enough.
Okay.
He's mobile enough.
What will be, what yardage?
Picks his spots. Hold on. You're going to disagree with the statement that Patrick Mahomes picks his spots.
Yeah, but it doesn't make him a mobile quarterback.
Mobile enough.
He's mobile enough.
That's all I need.
You know, I don't always need to use a jackhammer. You know, sometimes a regular hammer is fine.
Jaden Daniels, always tend to want to use my fist. Dude, I think if you go into looking for a quarterback, and the best description of a quarterback you can come up with is he's mobile.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, good backup.
Yeah, but he's fragile.
Fragile.
But I'm just, forget that part of
Moose.
It. I'm just saying, okay, that's all great, but he can't play quarterback.
No,
fragile
no.
Moose is a fragile Moose.
So you, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
If you were starting a team, you would take Anthony Richardson because he can run.
As a backup QB, yes, I would.
What good is having? Wait,
change of pace.
What good is having him as a backup if he can't throw?
We need a viable option behind Tagovailoa.
I understand that, but you don't go and take a young guy. You got to train also.
You know who else they met with, Frog Boy?
Who's that? Come on.
This is the segment of the show to say, let's get Leroy.
Oh! Xavier Restrepo.
Oh, sure hand.
Oh, sure handed. You know, we had a lot of drops when it mattered.
So many.
I'll tell you who doesn't drop it when it matters.
Oh, my God.
The X-Man.
He catches it on
That's
his
what they
butt.
Said about Edwards. Was it Edwards? No, not Edwards. For Jackson. For the
Andrews?
Ravens. Andrews.
Yeah, it was a tough week for intangible tight ends.
Tough week.
Yeah.
Dalton.
Yeah. Okay.
But you ever seen him catch a ball from his ass?
Huh?
You ever seen Mark Andrews catch a ball from his ass?
I did.
I know you did. Well, it kind of fell. Like, did you?
Wait!
Oh.
Wait! Was I on my ass when I caught the ball?
You were on your ass.
Okay.
You were on your ass. Boy, he was on his ass and then put up his hands.
I put up my hands.
No.
I didn't. I caught it with my hands. I did not catch it with my chest. I caught it with my hands.
I'm looking back at that play.
I caught it with my hands.
I don't recall that.
No, I'm looking
at it. I think we can watch this. I don't recall that.
We're going to
Oh, my goodness. See, this is it. When we talk about somebody else, right? He will squeeze all of the juice out of the play.
I'm not squeezing juice.
With me. Nope.
I don't recall the play going like that.
Nope. You got so lucky.
Get Bernie on the phone.
You got so lucky. No, dude, let me tell you something. Me and Bernie looked at each other, and we just shook our head, and we went like it never happened because on that play, there's only one rule. There's only one rule.
Oh.
That rule is you have to cross the face of the linebacker to open up the space behind you. Whew. And the linebacker got so far upfield, I said, you know what? I'm going under him. Hmm. I went under him. He bumped me. I fell on the ground like a weeble. Bernie still threw it. It got batted up in the air. Boom.
Leroy, really a ball spiker after that. I've seen you spike the ball 5 times after this. That was your thing. You were really... Oh, okay. No, he was on the ground. Is this the one? You've done this a couple times, Leroy. Okay, hold on. What do you remember the team it was against? So I can
Pittsburgh.
You know, I think I did... This. Damn, okay. Hold on. I'm going to get the screenshot because I know that's legally the only thing that we can play on here. Ooh, okay, hold on. I don't know if it was hand. It may have been bicep. It may have been a little bit of bicep. A little bicep and chest.
Oh, man. And, yeah, so I don't know. That was the word. Now, like, I would say Restrepo, the one thing is, like, look, if they are keeping Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, you got Malik,
Washington. Here's, I think you with Malik Washington and also a return guy, and keep in mind, you needed a guy like Restrepo until you started using Jonnu Smith.
Mm.
Right now, you have that combination of two outside guys, an inside guy that makes plays, and then your tight end using the middle of the field. So
they just need a guy who's like 6'3". They do.
I got it, but that's what Jonnu is.
Yeah.
But I will say this: football's very cyclical. Because you remember when Randy Moss and Megatron and all these guys were playing, everybody wanted a receiver that was 6'3", right?
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, Tyreek and a lot of these fat, really fast guys came out. Then everybody started getting, you know, let's get the ball in their hands, let's get the ball quick or whatever. It's cyclical in that it'll go back and forth. So, like, now I think the new thing is, The new thing is the very athletic tight end. Everybody's going to have one. That tight end from Penn State.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, especially Bowers having a big year.
Bowers. You look at Jonnu. They all are very athletic. So I think the new thing with football and what you will see is people talking about having that athletic tight end, but I don't know if you can necessarily
get Elijah Arroyo too.
I mean, huh?
Get Elijah Arroyo here too?
No, he's going to be drafted really high. I think he's going to be drafted.
He gets a little greedy, you know.
I think he's going to be drafted second, third round.
Mm-hmm.
He's that good. Like, I just think the athleticism of these guys, and who you have to play against. So
Schmeathan says Elijah Royal is going to be so good in Kansas City. God, that would just... And then leave it to Buffalo. They'll probably trade out to their pick so they can go take him. Idiots. Take a break. More to come here on the show, including Bam Adebayo explains where things are at with his very good friend De'Aaron Fox. That's next.
It's our number 2-0 with Tobin and Leroy.
Biggest boss and I've been in Trillis. I'm a bigger problem when I click with Skrillex. Murder on my mind, it's time to pray to God. My revolver's not religious, the revolution's born.
The Tobin and Leroy here with you. Hey, you guys want to go see Morgan Wallen? You guys can win a pair of tickets to see Morgan Wallen with special guests Miranda Lambert and Brooks and Dunn at Hard Rock Stadium in July. To enter, text the word STADIUM to 20357. Text STADIUM to 20357. For more information, go to WQAM.com. It's a text contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. STADIUM is your word of the day.
Mm.
What?
Glad it's appropriate today.
Sure it's not hard or rock?
No. It's stadium. Mm-hmm. That's what the word is.
Hey, word of the day, grope. Grope. The word.
We also have a contest for you. We're in Vegas right now. Okay,
yeah.
We're in Vegas right now. But if you guys want to go to Vegas, the Slam Dunk in Vegas, travel and accommodations for one winner and three guests for a total of $20,000. All you guys got to do is download the free Odyssey app. You log in or register for an account. You listen to WQM or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your entry. And you can do this every day. The Slam Dunk in Vegas, a great prize and your chance to win. Just listen to WQM on the free Odyssey app. Its travel dates are March 17th through the 22nd. And it's a national contest. It is a national contest. Luis says, Tobin, do you see why most teams pick the wrong QB? You see how emotional and sensitive people get talking about QBs. It's like talking politics. Emotional decisions are usually wrong. Jets and Browns.
Correct.
Bears and Dolphins.
I would say this. There's also another part of this that a lot of people don't really understand. And here's how this works. You are drafting prospects. You understand? So the prospects and the high-rated prospects of a certain year might not be the best in the following year or the year before that, but they're the best prospects this year. Now, if you need a quarterback and there's two top prospects, you might want to get one of those quarterbacks. And so everybody's going to start talking about those quarterbacks. And every team that needs a quarterback is going to start posturing and trying to figure out how can we get one of these quarterbacks. It doesn't mean that those quarterbacks are any good. It just means that they're the top two prospects. And so we misunderstand the draft to the standpoint of because they're the top two prospects, and I'm not saying that this is the case this year, but I'm saying because they're the top prospects, you want to get a quarterback. And it doesn't even matter if it fits or not. And that's the situation you're in. It sucks. It's unfortunate
because
you need to have the stones to say we need a quarterback, but not that one.
But like, are you referring to this in the idea of like you think that it really will be a bad decision for one of these franchises to take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying you've had drafts where there's been three or four quarterbacks that everybody has postured for, and none of them have been any good. They're prospects, okay? Just because you need a quarterback and there's a top prospect available doesn't mean he's going to fit your system and you don't have to necessarily get one. And that's the way fans think. That's the way organizations think. And what ends up happening is you end up with a bad quarterback. And it's okay. It's fine, but understand you're drafting prospects. You're drafting the highest rated prospect at that position. It doesn't mean that guy is going to be Josh Allen or is going to be, you know, any of the other star quarterbacks. It just means that of the quarterbacks available, he was the highest rated. That's it. That's all that means. So for people to just start, oh, we got the best. Oh, come on, man. Like, get over it. Once you understand that the draft is prospecting, they are prospects. They try to do tests. They try to talk to them to kind of evaluate the prospects coming out in the draft. When you start putting or what this guy's going to be or what he's going to be able to do without playing a down of football, we haven't talked to these guys or anything. Like, yeah, you're putting yourself in a bad position. Look at how many quarterbacks been drafting the first round that everybody thought were going to be pretty good, and they weren't. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't mean success.
Yeah, but it also doesn't mean just because Mel Kiper doesn't say that Cam Ward isn't rated with the class all of this year that he's not going
to
be better.
No, and that's the point I'm trying to make, is that
because the overall sentiment from everybody is. It's like, oh, don't take one of these guys. They're not franchise QBs.
Again, if everybody feels that way, then they'll probably fall down in the draft. They won't be top five, right? But after evaluation, after you do all your testing, after you have conversations with them, after you, you know, do your due diligence, then you might be one of those teams that say, this guy can fit what we're doing. Instead of, you believe me, we've seen drafts, and you know the teams that say, oh, we need a quarterback, let's get him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them at the top of this draft.
Right, and that's not the best way to go about this, because keep in mind, if you pick one position to change your franchise and it doesn't work, now you set your franchise back even more, because now you got to start that process over. Meanwhile, everybody else on your team is also...
Yeah, but it's a little different now, because it's like if the bigger deal is if you give them the second contract. If you really draft a rookie QB and it doesn't work out, like, it doesn't kill you. Like, you can go,
it doesn't
do it
kill
again.
You, but it doesn't kill you from the money standpoint. But it does kill you from the standpoint of being able to build a team that's sustainable, because you've invested so much in this one guy that probably maybe you shouldn't have picked that high.
Yeah, but again, like, I don't think the investment, it's not like Sam Bradford back in the day where you had to give a guy $50 million guaranteed,
sure,
and you were, like, pot committed on
yeah.
the guy. Like,
right.
Guys will just admit, like, oh, 1 year in, we're done. I mean, the Bears did it with Justin Fields.
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance.
Right, it helped that they had another guy that came in to start balling.
Cardinals and Rosen, you know, they're rats off a ship. And
yeah, but see, and my whole point is this. If you're making that determination that quick, then the mistake was made by drafting them in the first place. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be considered a good GM if you make that decision a bunch of times. Right? It means you probably shouldn't be picking quarterbacks. If you keep picking a quarterback in the first round and it doesn't work, even though it doesn't cost you, it may not cost you monetarily, but it's going to cost you as far as building your team and being able to put a contender out there for a long period of time, because those picks could have gone to somebody else who was actually either higher rated or could fill a need at a need position on your team, and a guy that might, like, every position on the field except quarterback, right, can play a long period of time even if he don't work out like you want him to. So you can move an offensive lineman around, right? You might have, you know, a wide receiver that can return kicks.
But sometimes it bites you in the ass, too, like we saw that with Eichenberg. And I don't mean to, like, bully on a guy.
No.
Sometimes you draft a guy high and you almost try and force it to work.
Right, but again, if you did that at quarterback instead of offensive lineman, you'd be worse off.
Just to make a guy work out?
Right.
Yeah, I get you. But MM says, I can't wait for Miami to release Tua or trade him in a year or two, go to the NFC, and then he wins a Super Bowl.
I mean,
that has been, it feels like once you get out of here, it does feel like you have a lucky horseshoe.
I would just say to everybody, I'll explain why people think I'm a big Tua supporter, and here's what I would say. It's not that I'm a Tua supporter as much as I am.
You love Tua.
That talent that he possesses is a unique thing. Mm-hmm. To be accurate and be able to make reads that quick is not something that every quarterback possesses. It really isn't. And I don't think people really understand that. That to be that accurate that quickly and to still not make the mistakes that when you see people try to do that, they throw a whole bunch of picks, right? When you see that talent, like, that is a unique thing. That separates Tua from a lot of quarterbacks. And so it's not my, the thing, the injury thing bothers the hell out of me, too. I'm not going to sit here and lie, right?
Yeah, because I have no idea how many games he's going to play next year.
But that talent is not something you can just go get another guy for. It's not. It is something that's unique to him.
Take a break here on the show.
What, Marcos? You got your mouth covered like...
Well, go ahead, Marcos. What do you want to say?
I saw Jay Fake put in the chat here.
You know what?
Leroy and Tua sitting in a tree. F-U-M-B-L-I-N-G.
Wow. You said
like,
that, Jay Fake?
Jay Fake.
Yeah,
wow.
I thought that was a low blow, personally.
Too much, dude.
I would never say something about that. I mean, the guy caught it on his butt. You know, what more do you want? What more do you want from our boy? But you know.
We'll take a break, mix things up on the other side. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 560 WQAM, streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. The channel, Miami 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. Where's J-Fix? She's hobnobbing there, Frog Boy.
She is hobnobbing, looking for snacks. She gets upset when she comes into work, and for some reason, no one brought her snacks.
Oh, you know what? That is true. Yeah. She gets, as the people say, she gets hangry.
Hangry.
Yeah, especially now hangry. That she has that championship clout from the Lava's dominant victory.
You're really, you're not, you don't get to tag a ring for that, dude. Like, that's not how
no,
it's going to work.
No, that's how it works.
No, that's not how it's going to work.
How it works, for sure.
You weren't even in the same state.
Yeah, because I couldn't, because the best players couldn't play. This was a sacrifice I made for my team.
Unbelievable. Yeah, this absolutely is unbelievable.
If I don't get a ring, then when the Heat win the championship this year, Drew Smith doesn't get a ring.
Well, technically, Drew Smith would get a ring.
Why?
Because he's on IR, but he's on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on
right?
the team.
You weren't on the team. Oh, you were a no-show.
I am the team.
You know what you were?
No-show, dude.
Wow, you were Jimmy dude. Butler.
Yep.
Missed the flight.
I told them that I'll meet
Frog Face Coffee.
I'll meet him with
and furthermore,
yeah.
Team won the chip when you decided not to show up.
No, mm-hmm. That's not fair. All right, the same thing
locker
happened to Carson
cancer.
Wentz, and you guys try to run him out of the building, and it wasn't Wentz's fault.
He said, you're not – Marcos isn't on the IR. He's on the IBS.
Oh, man. We're out here for David Benavidez, David Morrell. They got the press conference is going to come up after our show today. I'm sticking around for shenanigans.
Of course you are.
Oh, yeah.
Of course
we'll
you are.
We'll speak to the great Jim Lampley next hour. Legendary boxing broadcaster. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Nobody calls the blow-by-blow better than Lamps. I miss him so much on HBO Boxing.
It's funny because there's a handful of voices you associate with a sport.
Yep.
Right? And his voice you associate with boxing. So if you heard him saying anything, you're like, oh, who's fighting? Mm-hmm. Right?
Crazy. And thanks again to Premier Box Champions for buying in our travel and accommodations and to New York, New York for hosting us this week. Very exciting times out here. It is time, though, to mix it on up, dude. What do we got here, Froggy?
Not the instrumental, because I'm not prepared. But
what
if you give me 2 seconds to do this?
The mixed bag is brought to you by Frog Boy's Asterisk Ring.
No, okay.
He didn't earn it.
No, wait. There is no ass. Look, J-Fig will explain. She'll stand up for me. She understands the turmoil.
I don't know. With J-Fig hungry, a lot of the stands you think she's going to take, she
could swerve.
Yeah, she could swerve.
She could swerve.
This
she's not in a good place right now.
You don't want to see me swerve.
So wait, Jennifer, like, you came at 10:30. You could have stopped
to get some food.
Got you a little tasty.
She doesn't double down. Like yesterday, you strolled in here at 10:19 with a cup of coffee.
Who, me?
Yeah, I meant to make
sure. Yeah, but he.
No, it's a one-time thing. Listen. All right. Here's what happened.
Got your boy back
at
there.
At like 9:15.
Yeah.
I called Tobes. Yeah. Yo, I left my wallet at home. I'm turning around to go get it. I was getting gas by the station. So I had to drive all the way home and come back.
Mm-mm. While you were already here?
Yeah, pretty much just getting gas around the corner, like on like 27th or 37th or something, 22nd, because that's where the cheap gas is.
Now, obviously, you can't trust it with your wallet, but you know nowadays Uber will deliver stuff for you. But
not my wallet.
Yeah, I can get stuff for you. Yeah, like if, like for example, you left like I don't know your Stanley cup at home, and you're like, oh, I really need my hooch.
I would never do that. I would never have an Uber driver go into my house and be like, yeah, can you get this?
No, he's not going to go in your house. Potentially, your wife is home. They hand it to him, or you leave like a package in front of your home. But I mean, I don't know.
I still wouldn't want that.
It's very sketchy. No. When things like that happen,
dude. No,
like, I'm just throwing suggestions out there, dude.
Terrible. No, the best suggestion was me going home and getting my wallet.
All right.
What do you got today in the mixed bag there, Froggius?
Bam Adebayo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a little bit of tall time for you. Although yesterday we lost, he did have another stellar performance for our guy. Maybe he's turning things around. Unfortunately, Khalil Ware did not have the game we expected, especially me. Put three different parlays on this guy. Did not work out well. But Bam says here, it is a work in progress playing together. This is Bam Adebayo.
In great spacing. Obviously, like I said, it's a work in progress. It's been a small sample size, so we got to work through it. You know, everybody's gonna point to that because it's like, oh, that's the glaring, because that's supposed to be the fix. You know, it's gonna be ups and downs to this. So for us, is really continuing to stay confident.
It is.
It'll work.
I think it's a great way to put it. Like it's what the leader of the team should say. Like, look, this kid is a kid. We're just starting this. Was there six start together?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Here's the other thing is that, and I tell you this all the time, there is nobody who should understand what Khalil is going through more than Bam, who went through the same process. So he has to understand it, pass that information on to Khalil, and they fight, they get through it together. Like, fans aren't as sympathetic to a 20-year-old having a new job. They're just not. And so, but you expect the players and the coaches, like, there's certain things that Spo will get upset about, and there's certain things he won't, if you notice. Mm-hmm. Like, the rebounding thing is an effort thing. That ain't got nothing to do with being 20, new to the league, or whatever. That's a positioning thing only. So he gets upset about that. That's the only thing he gets upset about with Khalil. Is rebounding, and it's with everybody, not just Khalil. Mm-hmm. So I think it's almost perfect that he has Bam, who was a smaller big and had to go through some of the same things and work his way through that process, to have him right next to him, which is another reason why you probably can't have Jimmy around.
I don't disagree with you.
Right.
What else we got in the mixed bag, Marcos?
A man who deserves an apology from you guys, potentially.
Why?
Also turning things around, Terry Rozier, dude.
He did have a good game yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He still can't shoot a lick, but he got to the rim.
Remember when he first came in, he was taking those step back threes, and everybody was like, ooh. Yeah. And then, I don't know.
You know, I didn't have a good game yesterday. Jaime
is going through something right now because he don't look, you know what I'm saying?
Jaime was out there getting cardio yesterday.
Jaime got benched yesterday.
He said Jaime was out there doing cardio?
He did. No, he got out there for 7 minutes of cardio and Spo said, you know what, I'll put Pella in.
Yeah, that's fine.
You good.
Which is, I mean, like, the thing you got to be worried about Pella is, you know, he might give you that two for two.
He was good yesterday. He was good.
We call that the old dunks. 2 points, two fouls, and what, two rebounds?
What did T-Rose say yesterday?
He pointed out something very, very true for the Miami Heat in regards to the upcoming games. This road trip is going to be very, very important.
I think it's a perfect situation for what we got going right now. You know, just lost a tough one to the number one team. Now we go on the road for four games, and it's going to be some tough environments. But I think this going, I won't say make and break our season, but it's going to be huge for us. And this is the games that we need.
It's definitely not going to make or break their season.
Hey, so
I can say for sure it's not going to make or break their season. But yeah, they're going to be on the road a lot this month. They only have three home games in the month of February. Wow. They have, I think it's San Antonio Saturday, and then on Tuesday it's either Chicago Philly or Philly Chicago, and then Brooklyn, and then they come back for Boston, and then they go back onto the road.
So, question: somebody just put in the chat that Rozier's never been the same since that neck injury.
I agree. I mean, it can't not be talked about.
It could be a power thing, and let me explain to you. Sometimes when you get neck injuries, you like your arms. Mm. And I don't, if it's a nerve thing or it was a strengthening thing, and he might not have his strength back yet.
Possible.
But, yeah, so just because he has a neck injury, you know.
Yeah, because he didn't get cleared, I think, until camp.
Right.
Like, fully.
So it could be a strength thing that he thinks he has the strength he had when he came back, but he really doesn't. So it affects his shooting and how he does things. Yeah, man, I like neck and back are things that, like, I've seen, like, I've had back issues where I couldn't feel my legs. Like, numbness goes down my legs. So it sounds like it's no big deal when you hear it. But you kind of have to understand all the things that it encompasses, you know. So if it's your upper, you know, your neck, sometimes you have problems like with strength in your arms and stuff like that. So it's not as easy as it sounds. It could be a situation as why he's shooting so bad. Terry Rozier's never really been a terrible shooter. Yeah. He has really struggled this year.
Building a brick house, dude.
Yep.
Oof. Give us one more there, Marcos.
Speaking of neck, Adam Silver.
Oh,
very long neck.
Dude, he's built like a giraffe.
Dude, go ahead. I think I know what you're going to play, but I got to say some things about this guy.
Ooh, well, we may have some changes coming to the game as the NBA commissioner reveals that he is a fan of 10-minute quarters. This is Adam Silver.
Else that I'm a fan of, and I'm probably in a minority, as we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of four 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball, is 2 hours. But it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about over time.
Look, dude. Adam Silver. Stop thinking you got to change the game.
So my question is everybody basing what they do off of the biggest league in the world? So why are you adjusting to the rest of the world?
I don't know.
You see what I'm saying? Now, I will say this.
I'm a big fan of Olympic baseball.
I personally would love if NCAA went to four quarters. This two halves is garbage. The women do it now. The women have four quarters now.
Okay.
But other than that, like, yo, you are the pinnacle of basketball.
No one.
Why are you looking at somebody else and adjusting to them?
Yeah, what do you have to like go watch NCIS afterwards? Like, what are you saving with this grand 8 minutes that you're getting? Like, just have the game be what it is. You know what, Adam Silver? We don't need in-season tournaments, okay? We don't need to shorten the quarters, okay? we need stars to be able to actually move without these Fugazi second apron nonsense, and we need guys to actually play games.
How about this? If you shorten the games, right? Like, what? Does he not understand you lose money if you have less time for a basketball game? Did he really put all this together?
I don't know.
Because the only other way to do it is to have big old breaks.
I really don't think this
guy's
had a good idea in like 10 years. I really don't.
Just sit back and let the game work itself, right? No, like no. Come on, stop.
Let's have an all-star game that's four teams, and G-leaguers will be on a team. Because everybody wants to see G-leaguers against the best players in the world, and that'll make them really care. No, it won't.
They're G-leaguers for a reason. They're G-leaguers because nobody wants to see. And the other thing is, you think you like scoring? Cut the game by 8 minutes. We start going back to 90 scores.
We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We are live from the MGM Grand for David Benavidez, David Morrell, Radio Row. Back with more for this.